Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
America, welcome to the Inside Scoop on Washington. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Today is National Coming Out Day. Did you know that? Some of you did, probably most of you didn't. But it is an important day, and a day where actually begun by members in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community to have us tell our stories. And yes, I said us. Some of you may not realize I'm gay. Some of you have known me a long time. But it is important to come out. And I want to talk this hour not just about my own story, which I am certainly willing to share, but why you should come out, why you should be encouraged to come out. And I want to make clear that it's not just about being LGBT or any other whether it's intersex or any part of the rainbow community. Coming out, I think, is broader than that. Coming out means, of course, coming out of the closet. It means openly stating who you are, what you're about, and not hiding things that, frankly, may be embarrassing to you, but maybe shouldn't be. Because maybe our society is treating things as shameful that shouldn't be. Indeed, as hard as it was for me to come out as gay, and I will talk about that, it's also hard for me sometimes to come out for those who don't know my story and talk about some of the real tragedies in my life, like a boyfriend I had that died of AIDS, or many of you know, my sister who was murdered some 21 years ago. In fact, I've done speeches, several talks, actually, including the keynote address at the World Bank. I'll be doing the keynote address at the IMF in just a week or so on domestic violence, sexual violence. Even though a large number of women all over the globe, including a large number of American women, and we can talk about the statistics, is it 1 in 5, 1 in 4, or 1 in 3, but a lot of people in America, and there are men as well, have suffered from domestic violence, have suffered from sexual assault, and they are reluctant to come out. And I want to talk about that too. I want to talk about the whole process of keeping a secret and why and when it is counterproductive to stay in the closet about aspects of our lives. And I will be telling my story, I want to encourage you to tell yours. We got a whole new audience of progressive voices. I especially encourage you to call in if you're lesbian or gay or bisexual or transgender, if you've suffered domestic violence or sexual violence or any other secret that you think you should share. Because coming out, while an intensely personal thing, is also a political statement. If there's anything we learned in the battle for equality, the gay and lesbian rights movement that, you know, certainly includes bisexuals, transgender, non-binary gender people today, it's that the more people know, the less problems we all have. when I think about the pioneers in the gay rights movement, people like Frank Kameny, who marched in 1957 for gay rights because he'd been fired from the government. They said he couldn't have a security clearance. They said he couldn't have a security clearance because he was gay and could be blackmailed, to which Frank Kameny pointed out, okay, I'm out now. You've outed me. No one can blackmail me. You can hire me back now. What are they going to say, that I'm gay? I'm saying it. I'm gay. And that was really the beginning of a movement. A movement that grew, of course, with the Stonewall Riots. Back in 1969, it was still illegal in most of the country to be gay. Footnote, by the way, when I moved to Virginia in 2001, it was still illegal to be gay in Virginia. It was actually illegal for anyone to have oral sex in Virginia, including a man and his wife. Could go to jail for 20 years. That was overturned in 2003 or 2004 in Lawrence v. Texas. But it's amazing that 16 years ago, that kind of thing, a man and a woman even having a certain kind of oral sex in their own home could be put in jail for consensual sexual acts. The point is that back in 1969, you could be arrested just for entering a gay bar. And at Stonewall, the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village in New York City, we all know that the police came and arrested people again and again and again and again. And finally, the gay people in that bar just had enough. And frankly, the drag queens led the riot. They would hit the police with their high-heeled shoes and say, hey, you know, get out of our bar. This is our spot. And that little piece of history, of course, is often seen as the founding of the gay rights movement. But it went on for many, many, many years, many battles, from removing what used to be considered in psychology a disease, that was removed in 1973, all the way to getting more and more gay rights, lesbian rights, up to the 1980s. Then, of course, the AIDS crisis hit, and that was a scary, scary time, particularly to be a gay man. I was just a kid then, but ironically, it led to people discovering, forced to come out. Rock Hudson, right? This, strapping Hollywood actor, good-looking guy who played leading male roles. Guess what? He was gay. Nobody knew that. And suddenly people began to think, oh, maybe gay people aren't the stereotypes that we think they are. So that almost forcibly outed people, and gay people had to get political in a way they never had before, to get the funding that we needed to fight this deadly disease. And frankly, the battle against AIDS in the gay community while the battle continues, has been largely successful. I mean, up until 1995, we had as many as 50,000 people die of AIDS a year in the United States. Those numbers are way, way down now due to treatments. We still have to encourage people to have safe sex. We still have to encourage people to take their drugs when they need them, and we have to get the drug prices down, but it's not the death sentence at all that it once was. I began my own gay rights activism in the early 1990s. I'm going to tell my coming out story. I came out in the early 1990s and began my gay activism soon after. I'll talk about that. But it was amazing for me just how far we've come in 25 years through activists like the groups that I worked with, through people like Congressman Barney Frank, who came out in that era and who I was proud to work for. And I remember in 1999 and 2000 fighting for marriage equality at a time when even gay people didn't think that was possible, because they didn't think that progress could happen that fast. And I was a young activist, and I thought, heck, why not? Right? I will hopefully have some time today to talk about my marriage rights activism. In fact, I am one of the co-founders of Marriage Equality California, the second oldest marriage equality organization in the United States. All of this is not even needed anymore because we have marriage equality nationwide. We have come a long way. And when I look at the transgender community, I see them where we were 20, 25 years ago, where the gay community was. And I know it's just a matter of time. Maybe they'll even achieve equality more quickly. We're not done yet. I mean, I don't want to pretend that gay rights is over. We still don't have employment non-discrimination nationwide. In a majority of states, you can be fired just for being gay, including, by the way, in my home state of Virginia. In fact, I've put forward legislation every year I've been in office to ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity in employment, in public housing, in accommodations, and or any kind of housing, actually, in accommodations. And the Republicans have killed that bill year after year after year. They still believe in prejudice. They still believe in discrimination. That's one reason why we're having a good election in Virginia in a month, to hopefully get out some of these bigots and bring in people who actually believe that every American should be treated equally under the law. But this is something, it's an ongoing fight. And we do take two steps forward and one step back, but we do go more forward than we've gone back. And again, we'll get to all these issues, and I definitely want to hear your stories at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. But to me, coming out is not just a matter of history, a matter of politics. It's a matter of some small courage, sometimes larger courage. Frankly, the courage is much larger for those unlike me who don't have supportive families. I always had a supportive family. For them, it takes much more courage to come out. It also takes more courage to come out if you live in small town Idaho than if you live in cosmopolitan Northern Virginia or New York City or San Francisco. If you're not out and you live in San Francisco, what's your problem? If you are out and you live in Mississippi, you're a very, very brave person. So there's all ranges. Depends on where you live, depends on how old you are, depends on how supportive your family is. And again, there's all kinds of ways to come out. I'm not just talking about sexual orientation and gender identity. I read an article recently, I think it was in The Atlantic, about intersex people coming out. People who are born in between male and female and used to be embarrassed by such things. But why should you ever be embarrassed by something that it just happened that you didn't choose? That's genetically yours. That's why you shouldn't be embarrassed about your sexual orientation or your gender identity. You didn't choose those things. And again, I compare it to those who are also victims of violence. People are ashamed for some reason. Well, I know the reasons because of societal reasons. If they've been, say, sexually abused as a minor. But why? The only people who should be ashamed are the perpetrators of such violence and such abuse. They should be royally ashamed. But if you're the victim of violence, that's not your fault. If you're the victim of domestic violence, that's not your fault. If you're a victim of a sexual assault, God knows that's not your fault. And by coming out, you actually help others. It's not just, oh, I want you to come out for some prurient interest in your private life. No, everyone who comes out tells the next victim of sexual assault, it's okay. It's okay. You're a victim. You're a survivor. You are strong. It is not your fault. And by coming out, we let everyone know. You know, I look at the allegations that are almost certainly true against Harvey Weinstein, and it took one brave person to come out, and then the second, and then by the time the 20th one does, you don't need that much bravery, right? Because people believe you, because you have a lot of support to back it up. It's the same with coming out. The more people come out, I know, make it safer for everyone else to live. The bravest people come first, but there's always a reason for yourself and for others to come out. And I'll be sharing my story this hour, and I encourage you to share yours at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Welcome to National Coming Out Day, a day set aside primarily, though I would argue not exclusively, for members of the rainbow community, those who have a sexual orientation or gender identity that is perhaps not the most common one. I will be telling my own story, I promise, in this hour. But I want to encourage you to tell your stories, too. And I want to emphasize that coming out is not only about sexual orientation and gender identity. It's about telling secrets, not the kind that hurt anyone, telling your own secrets. Because by doing that, for one thing, it's actually it gives you a sigh of relief. There's a certain freedom in being free to be yourself. I'm going to talk about that in my own coming out story, but just the freedom to exist and not be judged by really yourself, by hiding yourself, by trying to live your life in the eyes of others rather than yourself. And by coming out, not only do you take that courageous act, not only do you liberate yourself, you liberate others. People who came out before us helped pave the way for me. I hope I can pave the way for others, and you pay it forward. It really is a wonderful thing. You can't deal with real problems in our society of discrimination and prejudice, even on issues of violence, unless you're willing to talk about it, unless you're willing to come out. So I encourage everyone to come out. I'm going to start with John on line 4 in Indianapolis, Indiana. John, we only got a couple minutes and we have to go to a break, but there'll be more time after the break. So please tell me about your own story.
Hey there, Mark. Good afternoon.
Thanks for calling
on the show today.
Sure.
I've been with my partner for 18 years.
Congratulations.
We're purple in a red state here in Indiana. My thoughts on Coming Out Day are basically, I had just posted on Twitter on the first Coming Out Day of the Trump years that the Harvey Milk's words are more important than ever. Right before he was assassinated, he said to burst down the closet doors once and for all and stand up and fight and start the fight. And that fight absolutely continues, what you were talking about earlier. I mean, Roy Moore representing Alabama, I talk about going back to the Stone Age. It's also useful to remember how virulently homophobic this vice president is. So I know you talk about that kind of stuff all the time, but absolutely you're correct that the fight continues with those two examples in particular.
John, I don't know how old you are, but you came out
in...
Okay, so just a little bit older than I am. You came out, I guess, when, in the 90s?
I never had an occasion where I was not out. I recall growing up in Missouri and getting muddy with my friends in the creek. We would make ourselves muddy on purpose, so our mothers would toss us into the shower on purpose. And so I think that's how I came out, maybe when I was 12 or 13 years old.
But your parents knew as early as 12 or 13?
I think my mother did. Interestingly enough, I'm closer with my partner's father than I am with my own father.
Interesting.
And so I think that's probably a typical kind of story. You kind of adopt the family of your partner.
Sure, absolutely. Listen, I got to take a break, John, but stay on the line with me. I'm going to encourage others to join in this discussion at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
To the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Today's National Coming Out Day. I will share my story in just a few minutes. I want to get back to my caller on the line, though. His name is John. He is from Indianapolis and was sharing his own personal coming out story. Thank you, John, for calling in. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much for having me on the line.
Oh, absolutely. So did you come out to your friends before your parents? How did that work?
I actually think I came out to my friends during high school when we were all together on the drama club, which might be a typical story for a gay boy.
But this is the early 90s, late 80s. When was this?
Late 70s, actually.
Late 70s. Now, see, I think that's really brave. To come out in the late 70s in high school. Where were you living? Where in Missouri? Was it St. Louis or a small town?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Okay, yeah, so it's a big city. But even then, Kansas City, Missouri, in the late 1970s, I think that's extremely brave. Did you feel brave at the time? Were you scared?
Well, I don't think it was that brave. It was only in the confines of the drama club with the other gay boys that were there. So,
did y'all keep it secret from others?
For the most part. But when you're a boy in the drama club in high school, I think everybody probably figured it out.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. I was in the drama club in my high school, but
yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are people I know today who are straight who were actually in plays in my high school. But so you didn't tell anyone other than your friends at first. And then did your parents find out, or did you tell them, or what happened?
It was one of those things that Dad figured out eventually, but my mother adopted my my partner, like the son that the second son that she never had.
And you've known him since high school.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Oh, actually, since I was probably earlier than that.
Wow.
But if I could just make one more point before you get me on the line to make room for other callers.
Sure.
There is, with regard to Trump and Pence and Roy Moore, et cetera, and with National Coming Out Day, I think the point needs to be emphasized. You may have heard this term, intersectionality, being tossed around. I think it basically means that the groups opposing Trump and Pence are joining hands, and the gay community, of course, is a leading that effort, along with African Americans, Black Lives Matter, unions, et cetera. And I think it's an amazing thing. And that point was illustrated right after the Orlando shooting at the Pulse nightclub. This group formed called Gays Against Guns. And you can follow that on Twitter. There was...
I think they endorsed me in my campaign, actually, this November. I'm a big supporter of Gays Against Guns. But go ahead. Keep going.
And there was activity with some African Americans wearing some T-shirts opposing the NRA with rainbow shirts that said "Disarm Hate." And so, if there's an ever opportunity to come out, it means that you're joining forces with the other forces in the resistance to oppose Trump and Pence, because it's more important than ever. And that's what you do every day. So I just want you to say, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your call, John. I really appreciate that.
You bet.
I do think John may not see it as brave. I see it as extremely brave to come out in the late 1970s. Not that many people came out then, particularly pre-AIDS, which sort of forced a lot of people out. I think that's extremely brave. Kids today who come out in high school, I think, are brave. But 40 years ago, it's extraordinary. I did not come out in high school. Not quite sure I knew I was gay in high school. I was focused on my studies. I was a good student. Maybe it was all that sublimated sexuality that made me get good grades. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a big nerd. But whatever it was, although I did act in plays and I wasn't that good in sports. But hey, you know, there's good gay. We know now there's gay people in the NFL and gay people playing basketball and professionally and everything else. So sometimes those stereotypes don't hold. But in college, I was also afraid to come out. I remember talking with openly gay people and listening to them as an observer, as a good liberal. You know how I am, asking questions about what it's like, at the same time as I was really trying to figure out who I was. I knew I was gay by college, but I also knew that I couldn't tell anyone. I had a good life. I had a good education. I was destined to get a good job. I had a great family. Still have a great family. And I just didn't think that coming out was compatible with all those good things in my life. I thought it would destroy them. And went on to law school. I lived a year in Switzerland, had a Fulbright up there. And even in Switzerland, for a year I was there, and I was afraid to come out, although I started to quietly ask a few people a few things. Really, I didn't even walk into a gay bar in my life until after my year in Switzerland. I didn't want to come out or walk into a gay bar. I didn't realize the amazing secret and fellowship that we have. You may not know this if you're not in the rainbow community, but it's actually quite safe to walk into a gay bar. Gay people won't out you. It's amazing, because you'd think, well, there's good gay people and bad gay people, of course, like all people on earth. But there's kind of an unsaid rule that people are willing to express. You just don't out people against their will. I guess I was afraid at the time that if I walked in a gay bar, I don't know, somewhere in Switzerland, someone would tell my parents, God knows, what I was thinking. It's a little bit of paranoia, to be honest with you. I remember in 1991 hearing the Jill Sobola song, who later came out herself. She wasn't out at this time. She's now out as a lesbian singer. One of my favorite artists. Check her out. Jill, S-O-B-U-L-E. Love her. She had this wonderful song called You're Too Cool to Fall in Love. And I remember hearing this wonderful verse where she said, "It doesn't matter what we do. No one cares. So why are you still playing safe?" I'd never heard this woman before. She was an opening act to a concert. And I remember sitting in the darkened concert, tears coming down my face. She just touched me. "It doesn't matter what we do. No one cares. So why are you still playing safe?" I had been playing safe my whole life. And that and other things encouraged me. I was going to go out and I was going to go to a gay bar. But I wasn't going to do it in the United States. I'm an American. I know people in America. I was going to be careful. I was going to protect myself. I was going to come out in Europe. And I wasn't going to come out in Switzerland because I just spent a year in Switzerland. I knew lots of Swiss people. You see how this paranoia works? Like 300 million Americans and 20 million Swiss people care whether I walk in a gay bar. I mean, what was I thinking? But I remember I went to France. I speak French. Went to Paris. Thought, you know, get lost in the city of Paris. And I remember finding out where the gay bars were, walking down this kind of isolated street in one of Paris's, you know, main places, and finding the gay bar and walking and looking and then walking right past it to the end of the street. And then starting to go down the street again, but oh, there were other people there! So I had to wait till they cleared the street, till the street was empty again, and then I would again walk down the street and slow down as I past the gay bar, and then I think I went home to my hotel that night until the next night when I got the courage to come back to the same street and actually pulled the door and found it was locked. Found out that at least at that time in the 1990s in Paris, most gay bars were private clubs and you had to ring the bell to get in. I understand why that is. Most of the bars in those days had no windows. The doors were locked. And frankly, it was to protect the people inside from homophobic passersby, or at one time in the United States, even the police. So I remember finally getting the courage to ring the bell to let me into the club. And the bouncer came out and just said, "What do you want?" Conversation in French. I do speak French. And I said, stammering, "You know, I know what this is." And he's like, "I don't care." He actually used a word that I can't translate because it would be against the FCC rules. I don't give a F. He said, "It's a private club." Slammed the door in my face. And, of course, I didn't realize that in Paris, you should never try to go out at 9:30 p.m. The gay scene really doesn't start till after 1 in Paris. Anyway, I gave up on Paris. I thought that I couldn't succeed there. I went to the next nearest capital, which was Brussels. I spent a whole weekend looking for gay bars in Brussels. Couldn't find one. Went to the next nearest capital, which was Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and actually stumbled on Gay Mecca. Completely by accident. I had no idea that Amsterdam was the San Francisco of Europe. I had no idea. I just stumbled on it. In Amsterdam, gay people weren't afraid. In Amsterdam, gay people weren't hiding behind locked doors and windowless bars in isolated, desolated areas of town. They were right there in the center, in the city center. Gay bar, straight bar, straight bar, gay bar. And they were, their windows were open. And they were singing. Singing. Yeah, they were drunk, but they were singing these crazy Dutch songs. You know, arm in arm, beer in one hand, your man in the other hand. And I remember that Dutch man waving to me, "Come on in." And I walked in unafraid because they came out first. Because that culture came out first. Because they had taken the steps that I had was just taking 10, 20 years earlier. And the Netherlands was the most advanced, like San Francisco was the most advanced in the United States. And these cultural centers helped let people know it was okay. I can't tell you how I felt walking in that bar, just singing with a guy I did not know, some Dutch guy with his arm around me, just drinking and singing and maybe crying, because it was magical just to be free. Now, coming out is an ongoing process. It's not one thing. That was, if you will, coming out to myself. It took a couple years more before I came out to my parents, to my sister, to my family, later to all my friends. And in some days, it's a continuous coming out process. I'm an elected official. I'm a delegate in the Virginia House of Delegates. And not all my constituents know I'm gay. I'm not the first gay person in the House of Delegates, so I guess it's not that exciting. I'm the third, which people really don't care about, which is actually kind of cool. But it means sometimes I have to represent. I have to let people know I'm gay. There are people who listen to my radio show that, if I don't talk about it, don't know I'm gay. I don't just do gay issues, as you know. I primarily don't discuss gay issues or LGBT issues or rainbow issues, not because I'm afraid to discuss them, but because I got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about guns. I want to talk about civil rights. I want to talk about immigrants. I want to talk about racial justice. I want to talk about Donald Trump and the idiot we have in the White House. My life is bigger than being gay. But still, it was liberating. And I remember talking to a Dutch man that evening and telling him, wrongly, that, you know, I could separate being gay from the rest of my life. The rest of my life was really good, and this being gay kind of threw a wrench in it, and I would just secretly be gay and then go out and be my family. And I lied about my name. I gave him a false name. I told him I was from a different state because I was afraid that he was going to out me. Silly me. And he told me something that night I'll never forget. He said, "Mark, at some point, the pain will be too great, and you're going to have to put those two lives together." And I said, no. First, are you going to out me? No, he's not going to out me. He promised me he's not going to out me. I said, you know, I can live these two separate lives. And he said, "You think so? And I'm not going to convince you tonight." And he didn't convince me that night. But one day the pain will be too great. One day, to be a full self, you're going to have to come out, because it's the only way you can be who you are. And only then will you be able to concentrate on all your other work and everything else that you aim to do. He was absolutely right. I still remember hearing those words. And ever since that day, I've tried to pay it forward. I've tried to help other people come out of the closet. I have heard hundreds of coming out stories of gay and lesbian and bisexual people. I have, by the way, four transgendered constituents in my district who came out to me because I'm gay, because they knew I'd be cool with it. Two are out, two are not out. And I'm able to help them because I went through the process. And I know these are good people, that they will be able to help others. Pay it forward, folks. That's what coming out is all about. I am so grateful for the people, the really brave people who came out before me. And I'm glad we can help those. They're going to come out after me. And soon it'll just be, yeah. He's got brown hair. Yep, she's got, she's left-handed. And yeah, and he's gay and she's transgender. And what's for dinner? And that kind of diversity. Celebrate it, but recognize it's just part of the wonderful diversity of who we are as human beings. Sorry, Donald Trump, what makes America and humanity great? This more than acceptance, more than tolerance, more than acceptance, but embracing the differences that we have. To me, that's what coming out is all about. This is Mark Levine. Call in if you like. 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I'm beginning to think I should have just played that last segment. Well, I was talking with my producer, Mark Grimaldi, during the commercial break. Sorry, folks. The Facebook people got to hear it. So if you go to my website, facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk, you can actually hear a really nice exchange I had with Mark Grimaldi about all this. One story I will share from that I think just shows you how far we've come is I talked about how afraid I was to enter the first gay bar that I went to, and how there was a time when most gay bars, and that's still true, by the way, in small town America, in rural America, and places like Mississippi and so forth, where the gay bars were hidden and everything. But the opposite of hiding probably has to be West Hollywood, California. I lived in Hollywood, in California for a few years, and I would go to West Hollywood. And West Hollywood was the first American city created to be a gay city. It was actually carved out of pieces of L.A. County where there was a heavy gay population, and where, I don't know if it was 40% or 50% or maybe even a majority of the populace in West Hollywood was gay or lesbian or bisexual. And so, of course, you could be out and free in West Hollywood like nowhere else in America. You know, San Francisco, which may be a third gay even today, would be another example. But I remember standing in line at a bar, at a gay bar. And this is long after I came out. This is years later. I certainly wasn't afraid anymore. I was just talking with my friends, and we were all standing in line. The bar was too crowded, and we had to stand in line outside on a pretty day, because they're all pretty days in Los Angeles. And some white guys with tattoos came by in a pickup truck and started shouting homophobic slurs at us. And this crowd was not afraid. You know, I think about, what happened to poor Matt Shepard in Wyoming when, a couple guys crucified him, literally murdered him, tied him up to a fence, crucified him. But we had nothing to be afraid of. We outnumbered them. And I remember when they shouted those slurs, everyone kind of turned and stared at them, and we started to laugh. And people started shouting things at them. And we had, we had some big guys in our crowd. We had only had a couple bodybuilders that came out and said, hey, you want to take me on? Who are you calling this word? And, of course, they peeled out of their truck pretty fast. But as individuals, we were scared. As a group, we were strong. And it was actually amusing. It's nice to respond to hatred with amusement. But you can only do that when you're incredibly secure. And we were in our city, in a gay city in West Hollywood, where we outnumbered them. And when you think about it, what coming out is letting people know you're safe. And you don't have to be gay to come out. If straight people would come out and say, hey, yeah, I'm straight, but I love gay people. Tell me about gay culture. It's really cool that you're gay. It's really cool that you're lesbian. Oh, that's really interesting that you're transgender. Tell me how that feels. What would you like? Coming out is not just for members of the rainbow community. It's to let everyone know that you're safe. And it's white people letting black people know, that it's enjoying black culture. It's Americans enjoying Latino culture. It's letting everyone who's a little bit different know not only are you tolerated and accepted, but you are embraced. It's part of the larger humanity. So everybody, come out today. Happy Coming Out Day. This is Mark Levine. See you Monday.